or glutathione reduced toxicity. Valentovich et al. Also showed that pretreatment with vitamin C reduced the toxicity of 2-amino-5-chlorophenol in rat kidney tissue preparations. Hong et al. Looked at the toxicity of a closely related compound, 4-amino-2,6-dichlorophenol, in the rat kidney. In this experiment, the toxin was given directly to the rat, and kidney toxicity was pronounced. Vitamin C afforded complete prevention from several of the measured toxic effects of this agent, and the authors felt that oxidation of the toxin appeared to be essential for its toxicity in the kidney. Nagyova and Ginter studied the toxic effects of 2,4-dichlorophenol in guinea pigs. They found that the administration of this toxin to guinea pigs with a low vitamin C intake significantly reduced the activity of important liver detoxification enzymes. They were also able to show that such an enzyme reduction did not occur in guinea pigs that were given the toxin along with a higher vitamin C dose. Eugenol is a phenol derivative used as a dental analgesic. Sato et al. Showed that vitamin C completely scavenged the eugenol in solution, and it reduced the toxicity that eugenol exerted against some cell lines in culture. Aminophenol compounds have also been shown to be toxic to the kidneys. Song et al. Showed that vitamin C prevented the toxicity of P-aminophenol when it was given to mice. In rats, Locke et al. Showed that vitamin C completely protected against the cell death induced by 4-aminophenol in a suspension of rabbit kidney cells. Polychlorinated biphenyl compounds, PCBs, are a group of substances used as heat transfer agents and insulators in electrical equipment. They tend to accumulate in animal tissues, causing a number of different toxic effects, including cancer. Multiple researchers have established that chronic exposure of PCBs to rats will result in increased vitamin C blood levels, increased urinary excretion of vitamin C, and increased liver vitamin C levels. This is the classic reaction to a toxin by an animal capable of neutralizing a toxin by synthesizing its own vitamin C. Where measured, the researchers also found that PCB exposure resulted in elevations of blood cholesterol, which is another nonspecific but consistent response to the presence of a toxin such as PCB. Fujiwara and Kuriyama also showed that the elevated levels of vitamin C seen in rats after a PCB challenge were due to expected increased synthesis rather than some mechanism slowing vitamin C breakdown. Dvorak showed a similar rise in vitamin C blood and urine levels in PCB-fed pigs. Like rats, pigs can also synthesize vitamin C in response to toxic challenges. The work of Kawai Kobayashi and Yoshida and Saito also demonstrated that increased vitamin C is useful in counteracting PCB toxicity. These researchers showed that PCB-fed rats had increased lipid peroxidation and oxidative stress. Other researchers, in studying a mutant rat unable to make vitamin C, found that vitamin C is needed for the general support and maximum induction of several liver enzyme systems needed to detoxify PCB and other toxins. Chakraborty et al. Also demonstrated that PCB toxicity drastically disturbed the normal microscopic pattern of rat liver cells. However, these researchers also showed that supplementing these animals with vitamin C could afford a definite protection against the toxin-induced changes in the microscopic appearance of the liver cells. Porphyrins are found in the hemoglobin of the red blood cell. Some porphyrins can generate free radicals by absorbing energy from light and are considered phototoxic. Bohm et al. Described two types of phototoxic porphyrins. They showed that vitamin C, especially when combined with beta-carotene and vitamin E, could help protect against the toxicity of these porphyrins in cell cultures. Quinone compounds are known to have toxic effects. Vamvakas et al. Showed that 2-bromo-3 N-acetylcysteine, SO, hydroquinone induced a decrease in the viability of cultured rat kidney cells. This decrease in viability was dependent on exposure time and concentration of toxin used, and vitamin C afforded some protection from the toxic effect. Leah showed that vitamin C reduced the incidence and severity of kidney tumors induced in hamsters by estrogens. This researcher hypothesized that the estrogens were oxidized to quinone metabolites, which were then exerted to tumor-promoting effect. Leah felt that the anti-tumor effect of vitamin C in this system was likely due to the inhibitory effect that vitamin C had on the formation of quinone metabolites. Teyama and Nakagawa showed that chromosomal defects caused by phenylhydroquinone in cultured hamster ovary cells could be inhibited by vitamin C. Lambert and Eastman also found that vitamin C could significantly inhibit the chromosomal damage inflicted by phenylhydroquinone on hamster lung cells. Rubidium is a rare metallic element with derivative compounds that can pose significant health hazards. Rubidium compounds are used widely throughout industry, including the pharmaceutical, photographic, and electronic fields. Johnson et al. Reported that significant ingestion of these compounds can result in acute toxicity. In rats, Chatterjee et al. Studied the effects of subacute rubidium chloride toxicity in relation to vitamin C metabolism and certain enzymes in the liver, kidney, and brain tissues. Although the supplemented rats received a fairly low daily vitamin C dose, 100 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, some protection against the alterations of certain liver enzymes and against the microscopic changes in the liver and kidney as caused by rubidium toxicity was noted. Selenium is a non-metallic element and an essential mineral that is a component of the important enzyme glutathione peroxidase. However, excessive exposures to selenium and selenium-related compounds can be highly toxic. Civil and McDonald reported a case of acute selenium poisoning where a 15-year-old girl intentionally swallowed 400 milliliters of sheep drench labeled sodium selenate 5 milligrams per milliliter. The authors calculated her dose to be many times the minimum lethal dose of sodium selenate for animals. Furthermore, her blood levels were found to be at least 20 times higher than the normal range. She was treated with intramuscular and oral vitamin C, along with dimercaprol, an agent used for heavy metal chelation. She was noted to be well 6 months after the incident. In studies on rats, Sverbeli noted that selenium poisoning lowered vitamin C levels in spite of the rat's ability to make vitamin C. Apparently, the dose was large enough in this study to overwhelm the ability of the rat's liver to compensate for the toxic insult. Sverbeli also found that the levels of selenides, selenium compounds in these animals, could be reduced by vitamin C supplementation. The addition of enough sodium selenate will induce subsequent congenital malformations in rat embryo cultures. Usami et al. Were able to show that vitamin C could reduce the incidence of such malformations. The authors concluded that the oxidation reduction state was critical in the development of selenium-induced congenital defects. Tereda et al. Showed that selenious acid, another selenium compound, was able to induce significant damage to cultures of cells that line the blood vessels. However, when vitamin C was given with selenious acid, this damage was not observed. Hill found that high levels of selenium were able to significantly retard growth in chicks. Hill also found that an increase in dietary vitamin C was able to lessen this growth retardation. In mice, Jacques Silva et al. Found that diphenyl diselenide reduced blood hemoglobin levels. They showed that when mice given this form of selenium were also given vitamin C, the hemoglobin content was significantly higher. Consistent with the presence of a toxin, the liver vitamin C content of exposed mice increased. Furthermore, These researchers showed that vitamin C decreased significantly the deposition of selenium in the livers and brains of rats receiving diphenyl diselenide. They suggested their results indicated that vitamin C may have a protective role in organoselenide intoxication. The existing literature justifies the use of vitamin C as at least one of the treating agents in cases of selenium poisoning. Strontium is a metallic element. While not especially toxic, when taken in excess, it can replace calcium in the bone and eventually lessen bone strength. Ortega et al. Looked at vitamin C along with a number of chelating agents in a mouse experimental system. After strontium injections into the abdomens of the mice, vitamin C was the only agent that significantly increased the fecal excretion of strontium. Furthermore, they also showed that vitamin C was among the most effective chelators in reducing the concentrations of strontium in various tissues. Sulfa drugs are antibacterial compounds that have been largely replaced by more effective and less toxic antibiotics. Schrapp reported probable toxic side effects of sulfapyridine in a 5-year-old boy. The boy presented with pneumonia documented by X-ray. 8 hours after his first dose of sulfapyridine, he developed a fever blister and his gums became red and swollen, bleeding easily. The gum deterioration was consistent with the gums of a scurvy patient. Sulfapyridine was not discontinued, but a mere 50 milligrams of vitamin C was given with each subsequent dose of sulfapyridine. Schrapp termed the clinical results astounding. By 10 hours after the first vitamin C dose, the soreness of the mouth and gums had completely disappeared, and the swelling of the tongue had resolved. One interpretation of this case is that sulfapyridine toxicity further consumed vitamin C in a body already significantly depleted of vitamin C by advanced infection. However, the small doses of vitamin C were nevertheless very effective in resolving the acute manifestations of scurvy. McCormick noted that sulfa drugs were frequently associated with toxic effects. McCormick reported a case of sulfonamide poisoning successfully treated with vitamin C. The patient was a middle-aged female who developed a rash over her entire body and mucous membranes. This occurred after the use of a sulfa ointment for a sore on her hand. Her urine showed a pronounced C avitaminosis, and she was given 500 milligrams of vitamin C daily for a week, making a rapid and uneventful recovery. McCormick made the very insightful observation that a sensitivity, allergy, or idiosyncrasy to an agent like a sulfa drug may actually be an acute manifestation of severe vitamin C deficiency. The deficiency may be precipitated by the metabolic demands of the infection and the vitamin C-consuming toxic effects of the drug. McCormick recommended that whatever vitamin C levels are found to be low, which should be the case in all acute infections, vitamin C should always be included with whatever other chemotherapy is being given to the patient. Landauer and Sofer reported on the effects of vitamin C on sulfanilamide toxicity on chicken embryos. Sulfanilamide alone significantly increases birth defects when injected into fertilized eggs. When vitamin C was added to the sulfanilamide, these authors noted that the frequency of grossly normal embryos was much increased. Tetracycline is an antibiotic capable of causing kidney damage. Pollock et al. Studied the kidney damage induced by intravenous administration of tetracycline in both rats and dogs. They found that a vitamin C injection prevented this damage. Furthermore, they showed that preceding the tetracycline injection by 5 to 10 minutes with the vitamin C injection was much more effective in its protection than when the injection order was reversed. Thallium is a metallic element with poisonous salts. Thallium toxicity is characterized by a variety of neurologic and psychic symptoms, and it can also cause liver and kidney damage. Appenroth and Winnefeld showed that vitamin C in rats had a protective effect against thallium toxicity in the kidney, even though the metal concentration in the kidney was not affected. Thioacetamide is a known liver toxin and cancer-causing agent. Sun et al. Showed that when rats were exposed to thioacetamide, the damage to the liver was accompanied by increased evidence of oxidative stress. Also, the liver concentrations of vitamin C and E showed significant decreases. This evidence is like that seen with many other toxins, and it suggests that vitamin C administration would likely lessen the damage caused by thioacetamide. Valproic acid is a drug used to treat epilepsy. It has been known to cause a drug-induced hepatitis, which sometimes results in liver failure and death. In cultures of rat liver cells, Jurima Romet et al. Demonstrated that valproic acid and its metabolites have a dose-dependent cytotoxicity, as evidenced by increased levels of LDH, an enzyme found in the liver. Vitamins C and E demonstrated a protective effect against the cellular damage induced by a valproic acid metabolite. Mushroom poisoning. Even today, fatal poisoning continues to occur as mushrooms are misidentified in the wild and consumed. Eating the poisonous variety initiates a very vicious and relentless form of poisoning. Amanita phalloides, also known as the death cap, is the species of mushroom that is especially toxic, generally causing irreversible damage in heart, liver, and kidney cells after 24 hours. The likelihood of death from this type of poisoning ranges from 50% to 90%. Consumption of these mushrooms results in the exposure to multiple toxins and ingestion of as little as 1/4 mushroom cap, approximately 20 grams, is usually fatal. Lang reported a highly successful treatment protocol for mushroom poisoning. The protocol consisted of giving 3,000 milligrams of intravenous vitamin C daily, along with nifuroxacide and dihydrostreptomycin, for 3 days. Lang noted that a Dr. Bastian had discovered this method in the 1950s and successfully treated 15 patients by 1969. Lang also commented that Dr. Bastian twice publicly consumed what would have easily been fatal doses of mushrooms, about 70 grams, only to give himself the treatment and demonstrate its incredible effectiveness. Lang asserted that this method became the treatment of choice at a number of medical centers in France. Another potent antioxidant, alpha-lipoic acid, has also been shown to be highly effective in facilitating the recovery from mushroom poisoning. Berkson reported on the successful treatment of 6 patients suffering from liver damage that resulted from mushroom poisoning. Still another potent antioxidant, N-acetylcysteine, has been shown to be highly effective in the treatment of mushroom poisoning. Montanini et al. Reported on the treatment of 11 patients in their intensive care unit. 10 recovered successfully, even though one patient who had already had pre-existing liver disease required liver transplantation. Currently, there is still no official acknowledgement of the important role that vitamin C and other antioxidants should be playing in the consistent and effective reversal of mushroom poisoning. As with so many other conditions, relatively small doses of vitamin C have generally been used for this condition, even though the work of Lang still demonstrates that such doses can be highly effective. Once again, studies using Klenner-sized doses of vitamin C could not be found in the literature for the treatment of mushroom poisoning. Like so many other diseases, there are compelling reasons to believe that the reversal of this condition would be even more complete in a higher percentage of cases if such doses were used. As with numerous other conditions covered in this book, authors currently reporting on the treatment of mushroom poisoning do not even report or indicate a knowledge of the effects of vitamin C, while just dismissing the benefits of an antioxidant like alpha-lipoic acid without further explanation. In America and many other areas of the world, mushroom poisoning regularly continues to needlessly kill adults and many children. Considering the ruthless and progressive nature of mushroom poisoning, all therapies that have any documentation or chance of being clinically effective should be included in the treatment protocol. Six types of pesticides. Pesticides are substances used to deliberately poison rodents, insects, certain plants, and some undesired fungi. Pesticides are diverse in chemical structure, but they are usually susceptible to neutralization by vitamin C. Vitamin C also tends to readily repair the damage done by many pesticides. As will become apparent, many pesticides cause great damage by increasing lipid peroxidation, free radicals, and oxidative stress in general in the body. As has been mentioned, dealing with increased oxidative stress is a job easily accomplished by enough vitamin C. Klenner reported on three young boys who were heavily exposed to the pesticide spray of a crop-dusting airplane. The youngest boy, aged 7 years, ended up being covered by the older boys and received little exposure. The oldest boy, aged 12 years, was treated by Klenner and given 10,000 milligrams of vitamin C with a 50cc syringe every 8 hours. This child was discharged to home on the second hospital day. The other child did not receive any vitamin C, but only received supportive care. This child developed a chemical burn and dermatitis, and he died on the fifth day of hospitalization. This clinical response is very consistent with all of the following data on vitamin C and the detoxification of various pesticides. Each pesticide discussed is italicized when first mentioned. Methylviolone compounds, such as diquat and paraquat, are herbicides that cause an overproduction of free radicals in the target plants, resulting in severe oxidative stress. They include a loss of chlorophyll in the course of killing the plant, which is an effect that vitamin C can play a role in blocking. Diquat also induces a potentially lethal increase in free radicals in rat liver cells. Nakagawa et al. Showed that this increase did not occur as long as cellular levels of vitamin C were maintained. Endosulfan, phosphamidon, and mancozeb are three pesticides that are significantly toxic to the sperm of mice fed these agents. Toxic effects included decreased sperm count and increased abnormalities of appearance. Kahn and Sinha showed that this effect was lessened by vitamin C administration, even though the maximal dose given was quite low, 40 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, compared to a Klenner-sized dose. Kahn and Sinha were also able to show in mice that even a very low dose of vitamin C had a lessening effect on the increased chromosomal abnormalities induced by those three pesticides. Such abnormalities can lead to mutations and possible birth defects or cancer. Organophosphorus pesticide toxicity is generally lessened, blocked, and or repaired by vitamin C therapy. Gitanjali et al. Showed that vitamin C could protect mice quite adequately from chromosomal abnormalities induced in bone marrow cells by the insecticide dimethoate. Hoda and Sinha and Hoda and Sinha also showed that vitamin C could significantly lessen both malathion-induced and dimethoate-induced chromosomal abnormalities in mice and lethal mutations in Drosophila, a genus of flies. Parathion and malathion are two organophosphorus insecticides known to retard the growth rate of rats and induce microscopic evidence of toxicity in the liver and kidney tissues. Chakraborty et al. Showed that vitamin C was very effective in counteracting the growth retardation as well as the microscopic tissue abnormalities in those exposed rats. Hoda et al. Were able to show that vitamin C blocks the malathion-induced and dimethoate-induced depression of cell division rate in mouse sperm cells. The effect of vitamin C on the toxicity of another organophosphorus pesticide, chlorpyrifos ethyl, CE, has been studied. Gultekin et al. Looked at the protective role of vitamins C and E against the oxidative damage inflicted by CE in the red blood cells of rats. They found that CE administered directly to the rat increased lipid peroxidation and antioxidant stress in the red blood cells, while vitamins C and E reduced this manifestation of toxicity. A relatively low dose of vitamin C, 200 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, was given. Organochlorine pesticide toxicity is also generally lessened, blocked, and/or repaired by vitamin C therapy. Street and Chadwick reported that DDT, dieldrin, and lindane are profound inducers of the liver enzyme systems in rats that detoxify toxins. Furthermore, they reported that the exposure to such toxic pesticides includes increases in vitamin C formation and excretion, which are the expected responses of a vitamin C-producing animal to the introduction of a toxin. These authors also found that the detoxification of these pesticides was lessened in the vitamin C-deficient guinea pig, and greater amounts of pesticide residues would accumulate in the tissues. Street and Chadwick concluded that the liver's vitamin C status was of central significance in the effective metabolic breakdown and detoxification of these pesticides. Lindane intoxication in rats was also studied by Tiwari et al. They found that supplementation of vitamin C by separate oral administration to lindane-toxic rats neutralized the growth retardation and maintained almost normal values of all liver enzymes studied. Koner et al. Looked at lindane and DDT intoxication in rats. They found that the simultaneous administration of a relatively small dose of vitamin C, 100 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, markedly lessened the ability of these pesticides to induce oxidative stress or to suppress the immune system in red blood cells. Additional studies documenting the effectiveness of vitamin C in preventing, lessening, and/or repairing the damage of pesticide-induced toxicity comes from the following authors. 1. Verma et al., malathion and thiotox in fish. 2. Samanta et al., Sahu et al., hexachlorocyclohexane in rats. 3. Chatterjee et al., chlordane in rats. 4. Agrawal et al., aldrin in fish. 5. Bandopadhyay et al., dieldrin in rats. 6. Hassan et al., endrin and rats. 7. Rajini and Krishna Kumari, pyrimophos methyl in rats. 8. Ram and Singh, carbofuran and fish. 9. Grabarczyk et al., finerenamol and human white blood cells. 10. Wagstaff and Street, dieldrin, DDT, and lindane in guinea pigs. Overall, pesticides are a chemically diverse group of compounds that generally demonstrate substantial toxicity to most animals and other biological systems in high enough doses. It appears that a substantial degree of pesticide toxicity comes from the induction of oxidative stress, with an increase in intracellular and extracellular free radical content and increased laboratory evidence of lipid peroxidation. Such a mechanism of toxicity is ideally suited to treatment by a powerful and widely distributed antioxidant like vitamin C. Furthermore, vitamin C is of major importance in the induction and potency of the liver's detoxification enzyme pathways that operate to neutralize pesticides and many other toxins. Virtually all of the research studies that have determined vitamin C to be of limited or no value in the detoxification of pesticides utilized very low doses of vitamin C. In acute toxic states with death becoming clinically imminent, Klenner would use as much as 1,200 milligrams of vitamin C per kilogram of body weight by intravenous application. This equates to more than 100,000 milligrams of vitamin C in a 200-pound man. Furthermore, Klenner advocated repeating a given dose only an hour later if the clinical picture was not clearly improving. As Klenner liked to point out, whatever toxicity is present in the body, especially after a defined versus ongoing exposure, such as in a snake bite, the patient must have enough vitamin C to completely neutralize it. Otherwise, a positive clinical response can be severely limited or may not occur at all. It is truly remarkable that so many animal studies showed such effective detoxification against a variety of poisons when the vitamin C dosing schedule was so much lower than that so successfully used by Klenner. Radiation. While not a physical substance in the sense of other toxins discussed, radiation is very much a toxic agent that has very clear and pronounced toxic effects. Like the other toxins discussed, the evidence shows clearly that vitamin C can help to prevent the damage induced by radiation and repair the damage that had already occurred from a previous radiation exposure. The specific type of radiation being addressed here is ionizing radiation, as distinguished from non-ionizing radiation. The non-ionizing type includes radiation such as light, radio waves, and radar waves. This kind of radiation is generally considered harmless because the effects of such radiation are not pronounced and immediately measurable with current technology. On the other hand, ionizing radiation produces destructive effects, usually measurable as a flood of free radicals, including other indicators of oxidative stress and immediate cellular damage. Typical examples of ionizing radiation include X-rays, gamma rays, and particle bombardments from neutrons, electrons, protons, or mesons. Radiation toxicity will commonly damage the body in a number of different ways. Radiation injury can cause mutations, cause cancer, and lead to increased birth defects. Also, bone marrow is readily suppressed by a significant ionizing radiation exposure. All of the tissues can be affected, and the associated symptoms will generally be consistent with the effects of a large increase in free radicals and oxidant stress in the affected tissues. A potent antioxidant like vitamin C is ideally suited for coping with the onslaught of oxidant stress unleashed by a significant radiation exposure. Ala Ketola et al. Studied whether vitamin C could prevent death caused by whole-body ionizing radiation. These researchers found that a relatively small dose of vitamin C given to rats after exposure to gamma radiation caused a significant increase in survival. A maximal vitamin C dose of only 80 milligrams per kilogram of body weight was given daily for a week before the radiation and then for a month after the radiation. Only one rat died out of 25 in this treatment group, while 9 rats out of 25 in the control group died. It seems logical that larger doses of vitamin C would have produced more dramatic results, especially if the radiation dose was increased to a level where 100% of the rats would be expected to die without vitamin C intervention. Klenner asserted that vitamin C will prevent radiation burns. Furthermore, in addressing the issue of radiation therapy for cancer patients, Klenner also asserted that massive employment of vitamin C will make possible prolonged radiation therapy in late cases. In mice, Blumenthal et al. Found that vitamins C, E, and A were able to reduce the normal tissue toxicity induced by the radioimmunotherapy used in the treatment of cancer. Specifically, the antioxidant combination significantly reduced the ionizing radiation damage to bone marrow. The antioxidants also increased what is known as the maximal tolerated dose of ionizing radiation. Okunev studied mouse cancer cells and found evidence that after enough vitamin C is given, the radiation dose given to cancer patients could be increased without increasing acute complications, but with an expected increase in tumor control probability. Kennedy et al. Recently found that vitamins C and E could successfully treat the symptoms of chronic radiation proctitis following courses of pelvic irradiation for cancer in that area of the body. Symptoms such as bleeding, diarrhea, and pain all improved, and 7 of the 20 patients reported a return to normal. All 10 patients who were re-interviewed a year later reported a sustained improvement in their symptoms. Very significantly, this positive effect was achieved with a low dose of vitamin C that was quite small, 500 milligrams three times a day. Kretschmar and Ellis, in commenting on patients receiving radiation therapy, asserted that a sufficiently large daily dose of ascorbic acid, given either intravenously or by mouth, can prevent or minimize the fall of white blood cells which follows X-ray exposure. They further noted that vitamin C therapy also improves considerably the general condition of the patient, and X-ray sickness is very slight or entirely absent. As with other toxins, ionizing radiation readily depletes vitamin C levels because the free radical load produced by any radiation injury readily increases the metabolic breakdown of whatever vitamin C is present. Chevillon et al. Showed that the total body irradiation given to essentially destroyed patient bone marrow prior to bone marrow transplantation caused a pronounced decrease in antioxidant capacity and an excessive increase in oxidant stress. Mukundan et al. Looked at patients with uterine cancer who received radiation therapy. They found that plasma and red blood cell levels of glutathione, another important antioxidant that supports the physiological role of vitamin C, were lower in all of the irradiated patients compared to normal control women. Sporichev et al. Examined the vitamin and trace element status of personnel at the Chernobyl, Russia nuclear power station and of preschool children in a nearby city. Although the Chernobyl nuclear reactor explosion occurred in 1986, the authors found that most of the people they examined still had significant deficiencies of vitamin C, folic acid, and vitamins B1, B2, and B6. These deficiencies indicate a probable ongoing accelerated breakdown of vitamin C and other nutrients by residual radiation effects. Umegaki et al. Showed that whole-body X-ray irradiation in mice significantly decreased vitamin C levels in the bone marrow. Because of its rapidly multiplying cells, bone marrow is always especially sensitive to the toxic effects of radiation. Koyama et al. Were able to show in cultured irradiated cells that vitamin C could lessen the free radical load when given prior to irradiation. Furthermore, vitamin C given after irradiation still effectively reduced the free radical load. Finally, these researchers showed that vitamin C given 20 hours after irradiation was still able to reduce the mutation frequency in human cell studies. Sarma and Kesavan were able to show that vitamins C and E were able to reduce the amount of damage in bone marrow chromosomes from mice exposed to whole-body gamma irradiation. Furthermore, these researchers showed that the two vitamins afforded as much protection when given 2 hours after the irradiation as when given before. Similar results were obtained by Konopatska et al., who gave an antioxidant combination of vitamin C, vitamin E, and beta-carotene to mice for lessening gamma-ray-induced chromosomal damage. Fomienko et al. Found that an antioxidant mixture containing vitamin C, vitamin E, and beta-carotene reliably decreased the evidence of chromosomal damage in the bone marrow cells of X-ray-exposed mice. They also showed that this antioxidant mixture significantly decreased the mutation rate of mouse spleen cells after chronic irradiation. Nara et al. Have looked at the ability of vitamin C to possibly protect against the toxicity of deliberate exposure to a radioactive material. The radionuclide I-131, a radioactive form of iodine sometimes used to treat hyperthyroidism, was injected, along with vitamin C, into mice. Looking at the effects on mouse sperm cells, the authors found that the addition of vitamin C significantly increased the survival of these cells. The authors suggested that vitamin C serves to protect against the radiation damage of either accidental exposures or intentional medical exposures, especially when radionuclides are incorporated in the body and deliver the dose in a chronic fashion. As might be expected from the data just mentioned, showing the ability of vitamin C to protect against radiation-induced chromosomal damage, multiple studies also indicate that vitamin C protects against radiation-induced DNA damage and increased chance of cancer. Konopatska and Zhashovska-Volny showed that the combination of vitamin C, vitamin E, and beta-carotene reduced DNA damage to human lymphocytes in culture. This effect was observed when the vitamins were added to the cells before and after irradiation. Ryabchenko et al. Showed that the same combination of antioxidants could increase the efficiency of DNA repair in the spleen of irradiated mice. Yasukawa et al. Were able to demonstrate that vitamin C could significantly suppress the X-ray-induced transformation of cultured mouse cells into cancer cells. The authors suggested that their data might be useful as a guide for chemo-preventive efforts against radiation carcinogenesis. Ionizing radiation has also been reported to decrease the production of prostacycline by intact blood vessels. Prostacycline is the most potent known inhibitor of blood platelets sticking together, an event that usually initiates blood clotting. Prostacycline also has a relaxing effect on the muscle in the blood vessel wall, vasodilatation, which tends to keep blood vessels more open. Eldor et al. Found that vitamin C could improve the ability of irradiated bovine endothelial cells, cells lining the blood vessel wall, to produce prostacycline. On et al. Also looked at the damaging effects that irradiation had on the endothelial lining cells in rat aortas. They found that vitamin C pretreatment could prevent the irradiation from blocking the ability of blood vessels to vasodilate. Shapiro et al. Looked at the ability of vitamin C to protect important enzyme systems concentrated in solution from ionizing radiation. They concluded that vitamin C in low concentrations can protect enzymes in highly concentrated solutions. Because of low toxicity, they asserted that vitamin C had significant promise as a protectant against radiation. Although not technically classified as a form of ionizing radiation, ultraviolet, UV light, appears to cause a similar type of tissue damage. However, the wavelength of UV light does not allow for great tissue penetration, and the damage inflicted is largely limited to the skin or eyes. Vitamin C appears to play a significant role in lessening this type of radiation damage as well. Mireles Rocha et al. Noted that UV radiation absorption is responsible for the production of free radicals in damaged cells. These are skin cells that become sunburned when exposed to excessive UV radiation. In a trial on healthy human volunteers, the authors looked at the minimal UV dose needed to cause skin reddening, the early stage of sunburn. They found that vitamin C and vitamin E taken orally offered significant protection against this form of radiation damage. Eberlein Koenig et al. Performed a similar study in a double-blind, placebo-controlled manner. They also found that a vitamin C and vitamin E combination taken orally reduced the free radical-induced sunburn reaction. Similar research has been conducted on the protective effects of vitamin C against UV-induced skin damage in animals. Moisen and Beiersbergen van Hennegouwen found that a topical versus ingested applications of vitamins C and E provided complete protection against the increase in lipid peroxidation, oxidative stress, or free radicals induced by the exposure of pig skin to UVB, ultraviolet light type B exposure. Kobayashi et al. Examined the UVB-induced increase in free radicals and inflammation in mouse skin. They found that injecting a vitamin C derivative prior to UVB exposure significantly reduced a number of laboratory indices of increased oxidative stress. Newman et al. Utilized a new biological model for determining the toxicity of ultraviolet light using the embryonic yolk sacs of incubated hen eggs. Although UVB alone induced severe phototoxic damage, vitamin C led to a significant and remarkable reduction of the UVB-induced damage. Interestingly, other anti-inflammatory agents were also tested. Aspirin was less effective than vitamin C, and indomethacin, a strong prescription anti-inflammatory drug, showed no protection at all against the UVB-induced toxic effects. In studies of the protective effect of vitamin C against UVB toxicity on cells or bacteria in culture, the results were similar to those noted earlier. In human skin cells, Mi et al. Looked at a stable derivative of vitamin C, finding the derivative improved cell survival significantly after UVB exposure. There were also less large DNA fragments in the debris of cells that were killed. In a species of photosynthetic bacteria exposed to UVB, he and Hayter found that vitamin C exhibited a significant protective effect on lipid peroxidation and DNA strand breaks. They also found that the presence of vitamin C resulted in a considerably higher survival rate among the irradiated bacteria. UV light, like ionizing radiation, can also induce genetic damage and ultimately cause cancer. Dreosti and McGowan observed that vitamin C pretreatment significantly lessened the microscopic evidence of chromosomal damage in irradiated mice and irradiated mouse spleen cells, in vivo and in vitro. Dunham et al. Looked at the effects of supplemented vitamin C on the incidence of UV light-induced skin cancers in mice. They found that vitamin C afforded a pronounced effect in decreasing the incidence and delaying the onset of the malignant lesions in the mice studied. Razik and Jaffare also reported some research on the effects of vitamin C given to guinea pigs after exposure to radiation. They gave a mere 5 milligrams daily to each exposed guinea pig. No significant difference between the vitamin C treated and control guinea pigs was seen. In their discussion, these authors acknowledged that the doses of vitamin C to the guinea pigs would be the approximate equivalent of 500 milligrams in a 150-pound human. This amounts to an incredibly small dose of vitamin C when dealing with the toxicity of a whole-body exposure to radiation. It is very significant to note that even though the authors acknowledged the smallness of the vitamin C dose in their discussion, they have no problem in concluding without qualification that their research therefore showed that vitamin C, when given after exposure, has no influence on the effects of radiation. Unfortunately, this does not represent an appropriate or straightforward summarization of the research data. The true effectiveness of vitamin C against radiation toxicity remains unrecognized by many who see such an article, since literature researchers often read only the author's abstract, trusting that the authors will honestly and competently summarize their results. It appears that vitamin C is clearly an effective agent in preventing and treating radiation injury. Vitamin C should always be included in the treatment of this condition due to its non-toxic nature and documented efficacy. Indeed, Mothersill et al. Asserted that regardless of the detail of the mechanism, the evidence presently available demonstrates that vitamin C is a radioprotective agent. It is also important to note that the types of injury described in the literature are very much like the types of injury one would see with nuclear bomb fallout, or after contamination from a nuclear power plant leakage or exposure. Based on Klenner's work with very high vitamin C dosages, it would seem prudent for anyone with a significant radiation exposure, regardless of cause, to dose with intravenous vitamin C as soon as possible. Chronic lower oral vitamin C dosing should be maintained only after there is evidence indicating control of the radiation-induced free radical overload. Strychnine and tetanus toxin. Strychnine and tetanus toxin poisonings are being grouped together, since it appears that their modes of action and sites of action in the nervous system are very comparable. Indeed, the clinical pictures of advanced toxicity with these agents are similar. and the protective effect of vitamin C against these two toxins is similar as well. In mice, Day was able to show that vitamin C completely counteracted the convulsive and lethal actions of strychnine. Furthermore, Day demonstrated that the protective action of vitamin C was directly dependent on the plasma ascorbic acid level. Day had shown earlier that vitamin C was likely to be very effective in directly neutralizing the toxic abilities of strychnine outside of the body. Day demonstrated this by incubating strychnine with vitamin C-rich lemon juice. Furthermore, Day showed that the detoxifying effect was lost when the juice was heated to 50 degrees Celsius, a temperature that would destroy much of the vitamin C content. Day concluded that vitamin C in very high doses shows protection against strychnine. Day also mentioned earlier work that indicated strychnine toxicity was greatly increased in scurvy-stricken guinea pigs, an observation consistent with the strychnine neutralizing abilities of vitamin C already noted. Jahan et al. Were also able to show that vitamin C significantly lessened the ability of strychnine to produce a tetanus-like condition in young chicks. The studies on the neutralization of tetanus toxin by vitamin C were already discussed in some detail in Chapter 2. To briefly recap, Klenner discussed the successful treatment of a tetanus infection in a 6-year-old boy who was already demonstrating advanced symptoms from the production of tetanus toxin. Klenner felt the clinical course of the boy strongly suggested that the toxicity of the tetanus antitoxin worked against the boy's recovery, and the vitamin C injections were needed to also neutralize this toxicity. Jahan et al. Were also able to show that vitamin C therapy, at a dose much lower than advocated by Klenner, was able to save all 31 tetanus patients aged from 1 to 12 years. Older patients, however, showed less protection from the lethal effects of the tetanus infection and toxin, as the same fixed dosage of vitamin C had less effect on the larger adult bodies. Day studied the ability of vitamin C to protect rats from doses of tetanus toxin that were known to be twice the minimum lethal amounts. Day was able to clearly demonstrate that enough vitamin C could be given to completely neutralize otherwise fatal amounts of tetanus toxin. This is without the assistance of tetanus antitoxin, which can have its own significant toxicity. Vitamin C had also been shown to neutralize tetanus toxin in the test tube by Jungablut. Overall, the clinical and laboratory research findings reviewed make it quite clear that vitamin C is the optimal agent for neutralizing the toxic effect of tetanus toxin. Although less research exists on the interactions of vitamin C and strychnine, it would appear that vitamin C is likely the optimal agent for neutralizing this toxin as well. 9 toxic elements. Mercury has 3 primary chemical forms, all of which are toxic to man. Mercury can be present in its uncombined elemental form as an inorganic mercuric salt and as an organic mercurial compound. Mercury poisoning, especially when low-grade and chronic, can precipitate a wide range of clinical findings in man. In fact, because the findings are typically so subtle and non-specific enough, a diagnosis of chronic mercury poisoning is rarely ever considered. These clinical findings, often written off as just being the result of an overactive imagination, include insomnia, nervousness, tremor, impaired judgment and coordination, decreased clarity and efficiency of thought, emotional instability, headache, fatigue, loss of sex drive, and depression. Low-grade mercury exposure commonly results from the continual vaporization of mercury in dental amalgam fillings, which increases dramatically with chewing. Vimy and Lorscheider showed that the amount of mercury released from such amalgam fillings either compromised or exceeded a major percentage of the suggested threshold limits for environmental mercury exposure in different countries. Another common source of significant and chronic mercury exposure comes from the ingestion of seafood. Virtually all seafood has some methylmercury, which is an especially toxic form of mercury. Mahaffey pointed out that large predatory fish species have the highest concentrations. Furthermore, it is now being recognized that the development of the fetus in a pregnant woman is especially sensitive to this form of mercury in the mother's diet. Steuerwald et al. Showed that eating such seafood by the pregnant mother was associated with an increased risk of neurodevelopmental deficit in the baby. In spite of its known enormous toxicity to humans and other animals, mercury continues to be used in a wide array of industrial applications. Large accidental industrial exposures can result in acute mercury toxicity. However, both acute and chronic exposures to mercury can be effectively treated with vitamin C, and typically most of the damage from such poisonings can be prevented and/or promptly repaired. Huggins and Levy repeatedly observed the ability of vitamin C infusions ranging from 35,000 to 50,000 milligrams to lessen and often completely block any of the acute toxic effects of mercury when amalgam fillings were being removed. However, lower doses of infused vitamin C, 25,000 milligrams, would occasionally allow some symptoms of acute mercury toxicity to emerge. The higher doses of vitamin C appeared to be essential for complete protection during the actual drilling on an amalgam filling, which enormously increases the amount of mercury vapor in and around the patient's mouth. When the vitamin C infusion was started before the dental work, maintained during the dental work, and continued for a time following the dental work, even the sickest of patients often ended up feeling better than when the dental work was started. This was in spite of the additional acute mercury exposure faced and the unavoidable trauma of the dental work itself. The empirical observations of Huggins and Levy should come as no surprise in light of the significant research already performed on mercury toxicity and vitamin C. Chapman and Schaefer looked at the ability of vitamin C to lessen the toxicity of mercurial diuretic drugs administered to dogs. At that time, diuretic, urine volume increasing drugs given to humans were often mercury-based compounds, and fatalities were known to occur suddenly after the administration of such a diuretic. It was of great significance for Chapman and Schaefer to evaluate agents that could possibly make such fatal reactions less likely. They found that one of the commonly used mercurial diuretics of the day, merluride, mercuhydrin, exerted clearly lessened toxicity in the face of vitamin C. Specifically, they found that the lethal dose of merluride given to dogs was significantly increased by the addition of vitamin C to the drug administration. In other words, as more vitamin C was given, more merluride was needed to exert a fatal effect. Ruskin and Johnson, also noting the occasional immediate fatalities in the use of mercurial diuretics, examined the protective effects of vitamin C on the toxic effects of merluride and other mercurial diuretics in isolated rabbit heart preparations. By looking at the previously well-defined cardiac toxicity of such toxic diuretics, they were able to determine that vitamin C in even higher doses than used by Chapman and Schaefer had even more pronounced protective effects against such toxicity. Ruskin and Ruskin later looked at the toxicity of merluride on rat heart and kidney preparations. They found that vitamin C could prevent the lowering of oxygen uptake caused by merluride, which they considered to be a protective effect that directly facilitated tissue respiration. They felt that this facilitation of disease respiration was completely consistent with the ability of vitamin C to clinically protect the entire animal from mercury. The guinea pig has also been used by a number of investigators to examine the relationship between mercury and vitamin C. Blackstone et al. Studied guinea pigs that were given variable doses of both vitamin C and mercury as mercuric chloride. They found that dosing with vitamin C resulted in an increased deposition of mercury in the liver and kidney. As these are organs of detoxification and excretion, This is not necessarily an undesirable effect. Somewhat conversely, they also found that mercury significantly reduced the concentration of vitamin C in the brains, adrenals, and spleens of guinea pigs kept on maintenance doses of vitamin C. In following up the work of Blackstone et al., Murray